morning. When I got called to ask to call Yom Rishon, so I said, any idea for topics? So they said, well, all we can tell you is Rabbi Feldman is doing the death penalty. So I said, try to get a topic that dovetails. Maybe I'll do Tchias HaMesim or something. But Rabbi Shor was insistent on the topic of Shnayim Mikra V'Echad Targum. The Gemara tells us, if you look at the Mara Makom sheets, number one, Gemara in Brachos, Amar Rav Huna Bar Yehuda, Amar Rav Yami, V'Olam Yashem Adam Parshiosav Im HaTzibor Shnayim Mikra V'Echad Targum. That a person should always keep up with the tzibor. One should always be reading the parsha along. You should read through the parsha twice. The mikra, the actual parsha, should be read twice. V'targum, what seems to be the targum unklus, should also be read once. This is a read. V'afilu ataros v'divon, and even on the pasuk of ataros v'divon, that's a pasuk in Matos Maseh, a pasuk which is just a list of cities. That's the simple understanding. That's how Rashi understands it. Even though Targum, the translation, is no different than the actual Pesukim itself. So you do it three times. You do it twice Mikra, and you do it a third time as Targum. Shekola Mashim Parshosev Imatzibur Marachid Yomu Rishnosev. And what's the reward for this? You get Arichas Yomim. Not a bad trade-off. So the truth of the matter is that if someone wanted to pick a parsha that this would be related to, the proper parsha is actually Shmos, based on the comment of the Levush. Number two, Rema is Ve'elu Shmos B'nei Yisrael Rosh HaTevis V'chayiv Adam Likra Parsha Shnayim Mikra V'echad Targum. The words Ve'elu Shmos, the Levush says, reminds us of that V'chayiv Adam Likra Parsha, a person has to read the parsha Shmos Shnayim Mikra V'echad Targum. The problem is if you speak about it on Parsha Shmos, people already are that far behind that it's hopeless to try to catch up. Therefore, the proper time to talk about Shnayim Mikra is now at the beginning of the year. Even if somebody has not yet started it, you're merely one Parsha behind, something that could easily be made up at this point. And in fact, even for last Parsha, you didn't have that long to do it. So therefore, we're going to use this opportunity to discuss the halachas of Shnayim Mikra, and hopefully to use this as a way of encouraging more people to do Shnayim Mikra. I always talk to the Talmidim. I always tell them that, you know, if you know Chumash and Rashi, you know a lot. They tell a story from, I think, Rabbi Yisrael Salant, who said he would give smicha to anybody who could pass a bechina on Pashash Mishpatim with Rashi. And I point out that the smicha he was talking about, it wasn't because they had the pasuk Lo Sivasho Gediv Achalevimo. It wasn't talking about Yoro Yoro smicha. The pasuk was talking about Yadin Yadin he would actually give to someone who could naturally know Chumash and Rashi. No Chumash and Rashi is not a small thing. People assume that, yeah, I did that in elementary school, and since then I've moved on and I've grown in learning, and now I do Reb Chaim's. It's not true. One is a chiyuv to do Shnayim Mikra, A, and that should be reason enough. B, if you do, you get Arichas Yomim. That's not a bad thing. We do a lot of other things that take more time and energy than this in order to get Arichas Yomim. And three, in terms of our learning, the Chumash and Rashi that we learned in third grade, obviously if you go back and you learn it now, you'll be on a somewhat of a higher level. There is a discussion, A, where did this halacha come from? The Gemara just makes a statement. It doesn't really tell us who, what, where. There's no asmachna, is it the right, is it the rabbanon, what's going on here? The Aruch HaShulchan has a little discussion here. The Aruch HaShulchan assumes that this was a takana of Moshe Rabbeinu. When Moshe Rabbeinu originally instituted the concept of laning, he also instituted the concept that people should know what's being laned. It's not just a matter of letting the time pass by as the Baal Kore does his thing. Rather, it's supposed to be a learning experience. You're supposed to be listening to the Parsha, understanding and learning for it. In order to do that, a person has to be prepared. That's one approach. So the first approach says that the reason that we have Shnayim Mikra V'Echad Targum is preparation for the laning. Opinion number one. The second opinion, which is quoted by the Aruch HaShulchan, these are actually opinions in the Rishonim, is that it's not a matter that we have to prepare for laning, but at least once a year, you have to go through the entire Chumash. At least once a year. We have Daf Yomi. Once every 7 years we go through the Gemara. At least once a year you should read through the Chumash twice and with the Targum one time. In fact, it's very nice. On Simchas Torah, a lot of people wonder, what are we exactly celebrating? right, that the Baal Kari was able to lane it all. So if a person, the Shnai Mikra, again, everyone's having their own private siyum. A person has gone through the Shnai Mikra. So the second approach is that the reason we do it, it's not necessary to prepare every week for the laning, but by keeping up with the laning, a person will have finished the entire Torah every single year. L'may nafka mina. So if you take a look at number four, one important nafka mina is whether or not you do Shnai Mikra on Yom Tovim. So for example, this past Shabbos was gracious. The Shabbos before that, we did not lane a parsha, but rather we lay in the Yontav laning for Sukkos. Do you have to do Shnai Mikra for the Yontav laning? So again, we see there are two possible reasons that we're doing, and this will be a nafka mina. If you tell me the reason that we do Shnai Mikra is in order that we should be prepared for the laning, so yes, we obviously we have to do the preparation, just like when the fact that we prepared it when we did the parsha isn't going to help for last year, it's not going to help for a few months ago either. So according to that opinion, if you assume the reason I'm doing it is to prepare for the weekly laning, then I should do it no matter what we're laning that week, whether or not it is part of the Seder HaParshas. If the idea behind Shnai Mikra is that not that we should prepare for the laning, but rather we should complete the Torah once a year, so therefore we would also have to do, we would not have to do the Shnai Mikra then, because those parshas will be covered, or have been covered, depending on how it falls out, during the laning of the rest of the year. The Shulchan Aruch Paskins, number four, Ein Tzach Likros Parshas Yontov. So the Shulchan Aruch takes a stand and says you do not have to do Shnai Mikra on those weeks, rather you just have to do it on the normal parshas. So the idea being that the Shulchan Aruch seems to be posking that the point of Shnai Mikra is to complete the Torah at least, I guess, twice a year. The Rama says, similarly, v'chein ein tzav likros ha-haftaros. Similarly, the idea is not to prepare for Shabbos, but rather it is a matter of learning the Torah, and therefore you do not do Shnai Mikra on the Haftorah as well. However, mikom agum, nogu likros ha-haftaros. Still, however, there are other people who have such a minute. Practically, what do we do? Rabbi Moshe Feinstein Paskins in number 5. Then, in fact, we follow the Shulchan Aruch. We do not have to do Shnai and Mikra in those cases. We only do Shnai and Mikra on the Parshas, which are the Parsha HaShavua, not on any special laning like a Yontav laning. This leads to an interesting question that we have this year. So this year, I believe, the way it falls off is going to be one of those years that I think Shavuos falls out on a Friday. So if Shavuos falls out on a Friday, so therefore the second day of Yontav, B'nai Eretz Yisrael are probably reading Parshas Nasa, which will be Motzoi Yontav for them, we're going to be laning for the second day Yontav. And with that, we're going to get off for a while. That when we do Nasa, they're going to do Baal Oslo, etc. For a few weeks there, we're going to be chasing them. So the question comes up, what if a Ben Chutz Laretz is an Eretz Yisrael for Shavuos? So therefore, it is likely that he will hear a Parsha twice. Right? The Ben Chutz Laretz goes to an Israeli minyan, he'll hear Parshas Naso. If he comes home on Sunday, he'll hear Parshas Naso the next week. Or the reverse question, right? If somebody is a Ben Eretz Yisrael who comes to America, what's his din? He's going to, in fact, miss a Parsha. If you work it out well, you can miss two parshas if you travel on a double parsha week. So what's the din about Shnai and Mikra in that case? So in the tshuva, B'tzel HaChochma, B'tzel HaDevertin Stern, the Devertina's brother, has a tshuva about it. We'll do it outside, where he says it's somewhat obvious is that ultimately the way we're paskening is not that you're preparing the laning, but rather you've got to finish the Torah. If I was just preparing the laning, so I could prepare Nusso this week, I could prepare Nusso next week, that wouldn't be a problem. I could also skip a week. If I just happened to never be around for that Parsha, I wouldn't have to prepare it. However, that's not what the Shulchan Aruch seems to be saying. The fact that we are being makel and say that you do not have to do Shnai Mikra on the Yom Tov weeks indicates that we care about finishing the Parsha, and if we care about finishing the Torah, and if we care about finishing the Torah, therefore, if I end up somehow globally confused and I miss a week someplace, I'm going to have to make it up. So therefore, if the Ben Eretz Yisrael is in America, so he might not have to hear the laning. I've been to Minyanim on weeks like this where they say, okay, you know, we have a few people that are going back to Israel, we're going to lane a little different. So at Shabbos Mincha, they read the first Aliyah, they read the second Aliyah, and then for Shlishi, they do the rest of the Parsha. I try to avoid those minyanim when possible for obvious reasons. It's not a Beshita thing, it just takes a long time. So that's probably not a Chiyuv. A person does not have to do that. I think I was in Eretz Yisrael one year when this happened, and so the entire Chutznik program was off. So in that case, they did that. So if everybody needs to do it, that's one thing. If there's one guy going back, it might be a little bit of a tircha to do the whole thing for him. But in terms of the Shnayim Mikra, in the event that the person is going to somehow miss a parsha, that person will have to make it up. And vice versa, someone's in Eretz Yisrael for Nusso, comes back, they do Nusso again, they get the week off for Shnayim Mikra. Because you don't have to do Nusso twice. That's just like you don't have to do Aser Taser twice through the Yom Tovim, so too, you're not going to have to do Nusso twice. So these are the basic nafkaminas about whether we're doing it for the purpose of preparing the laning or we're doing it for the purpose of completing the Torah. We're probably assuming that we're doing it for the sake of completing the Torah. Issues that present themselves. So we say, Shnayim Mikra ve'echad Targum. How do we define Targum? When we talk about Targum, do we limit it to merely Targum? Of course, does the word Targum mean translation? Meaning that if I, depending on what shul I'm in, if I read the Stone Chumash, if I read the Hertz Chumash, if I read the Living Torah, what's the status? Does that count as Targum? So Tosfos already raises the issue. Take a look at number 7. So Shnayim Mikra ve'echad Targum. Yesh meforshim v'hu adim lo azias b'la'as shalahem. So Tosu says out, points out that the people who say, yeah, people who speak Aramaic around the house, you know, they do Targum. However, if I don't speak Aramaic at home, if I speak English, if I speak German, if I speak whatever language I do, therefore, if I speak Yiddish, so I'll do Ivritaych. Right? Whatever language I speak, Targum means I should do it, I should read it twice in the original, and once in a language that is my mother tongue. So he says that there is such an opinion. Tosfos rejects this. Why? He said there's something special about Targum. We talk about Targum means the Targum. Targum refers to Masha Ein Lilmod Min HaIvri. He said no, because when the Targum translates, if anybody has ever done Targum and also understood it, you'll see that it's not always a word-for-word translation. The Targum oftentimes will stray from the literal word-for-word translation and go onto a more of a translation of the Indian. Right? Rashi often doesn't say, Kit Targuma. Rashi will say, what's the understanding? Like the Targum says. Now, if Targum was just translating it word-for-word, that wouldn't be very helpful, Kit Targuma. Rather, oftentimes, the Targum will stray from the literal translation and give more of a understanding the story type of translation. He said, so that's what we're looking for. It's not that when we say we have to do Shnayim Mikra ve'echad Targum, it's not that we have to understand the words, rather we have to understand the story. So therefore, a translation which is just the King James Version, a literal word-for-word translation, will not be acceptable according to Tosfos. Interesting, we generally assume like Tosfos that a plain English translation does not work. However, I heard from Rabbi Willig, and I've heard other people speak of this positively, that there are translations that do work. For example, the Living Torah by Aryeh Kaplan is not a word-for-word translation at all, but rather, it's a translation which takes the Meforshim into account. It translated in such a way that rather than translating the words, it translates the story. So therefore, I've heard Rabbi Willig Paskin that if somebody would read the Parsha twice and read through the Living Torah, that would count the Shnayim Mikra ve'echad Targum. However, again, I'm not selling books here, I think that would not apply to the Stone Chumash. The Stone Chumash, the Hertz Chumash, those are fine works, but they keep their translations to under the line. Right? Above the line, they translate the words, basically word for word. And below the line, they say, okay, the problem above the line is X, Y, and Z, and here's how we deal with it. So therefore, since they're just a word-for-word translation, that would probably not count, as opposed to a translation, much as the type of Aryeh Kaplan's translation, where everything is done above the line. When you read the translation, you're getting everything, even though the footnotes are very worthwhile. Right, that would probably count for Shnayim Mikra as well. Already the Rishonim, however, offer another possibility. The Rishonim offer the possibility that perhaps Rashi counts. The Rosh in the Gemara and Brachas indicates that that a person can either do Targum Unklus or Pirush Rashi. That is a Machlokas Rishonim. If you look at the Yamshel Shlomo here, the Yamshel Shlomo points out that there is a disagreement. The Smag disagrees. He says that no, Targum is something very special. The Gemara Megillas tells us that Targum came Misiman. And Rashi, as good as a work as it was and is not Misiman. So therefore, we say Shaymik of Echa Targum, we mean Targum literally. We do not mean Pirush Rashi. However, the Yamshel Shlomo himself supports the idea of the Rosh, and he thinks that Rashi, since Rashi is basically on every pasuk, and Rashi does not just translate the words, but he translates the Indian, Rashi would count for Shnayim Mikra as well. This is a shita that makes it into the Shulchan Aruch in a very positive way, looking at number 9. Imam et ha-parsha b'peirush Rashi, choshev kamo targum. So the Shulchan Aruch paskins that not only is Unkelus good for Shnayim Mikra, but Rashi is good as well. V'yari shemayin yikra targum v'kein peirush Rashi. However, person is a real Yari Shemayim, you should do both. That's probably true. If a person understands Targum, it's definitely worthwhile to do both. However, if a person does not understand Targum, I've heard many people say, and this is how I am knowing, just do Rashi. Because Rashi, you gain much more out of. Targum happens to be quicker. It's very easy to read something when you're not understanding it. You really... That step of thinking doesn't get in the way, so you can just kind of daven through it. However, in order to get the maximum out of it, doing Rashi is a very worthwhile endeavor. I remember it must have been at least 15 years ago. I turned to Rabbi Wilk and I said, "You know, I've done Rashi a few times now, and I think I've got it down. Maybe I can do Ramban or something. You know, maybe we can go for a different parish at this point." To which he said to me, "You don't know Rashi." And years later, I see he was right. That every time I read through Rashi, you realize something that you never realized before. I give an example. So I was reading through Rashi yesterday, and it says in the Parsha that after, I never noticed before, after Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas, and she gave to Adam HaRishon to eat from the Eitz Hadas, she then gave all the animals to eat from the Eitz Hadas. So it dawned upon me, why? Was it that the animals were supposed to live forever before him, and this was going to stop it? Is that pshat? On the other hand, we make it clear that the animals don't have a Yetzihara. So if they ate from the Eitz Hadas, they should have gotten a Yetzihara just like man got a Yetzihara. So if it didn't affect them one way, I haven't had a chance to look into it, but I've never noticed that Rashi before. That's a very odd Rashi. Why in the world? You know, you've davened through it many times before, but every time you go through it, there's always something new. So at some point, maybe hopefully today, get an opportunity to open some svarim. If anybody knows it, you can welcome to yell at the answer and violate the Rabbi Shor rules. But every time you go through it, I find that it's a great learning experience. That you know you notice things you never noticed before. And therefore, it definitely pays to go through it as many times as possible. I have not yet reached the point where I can at this point honestly say that I know Rashi. There are a lot of interesting comments in the Mishnah Berurah here. So first he explains why Rashi is different. So he says that Rashi doesn't just translate the words, it translates the inyan in Dalad. And he goes on to say that, again, when you talk about Rashi, it's not only Rashi. He said it's whatever people will understand will translate it the most. So in Hay, he raises the possibility of Tzenarena. Tzenarena, I assume most people are familiar with. All the Nushim Tzikonios over the years have read this is a Yiddish sefer. I took Yiddish here in YU. So if you take second year Yiddish, you do Tzenarena, actually. You have to do it in the original. Everyone has to buy themselves a copy. So again, Tzenarena is in Yiddish, and it doesn't just translate the words. Mishnah Berurah counts that Tzenarena counts for Shnayim Mikra v'Echa Targum. Whatever you'll do that on a weekly basis will explain not just the words, but will explain the inyan, that counts. So if you would be able to wait until 23, it says no. But I don't want to ruin the ending for you. Maybe we'll discuss later on. We'll discuss who's chayav. We have the Mishnah Lachos, which says that obviously this is a chayav of Talmud Torah. It is necessarily related to what you think about women being chayav in Talmud Torah. Right? Women are most probably not chayav in Talmud Torah. Depending on what your background is, you'll have different opinions as to whether or not we encourage them to learn Torah. But I think this is a wonderful thing that women should be encouraged to do. I think that it's an old joke that only the girls know Tanakh. The yeshiva boys never learn Tanakh. You need to learn something from Tanakh. You ask your wife. They tell a story about the Bach and the Taz. The Taz was the son-in-law of the Bach. Is that right? Taz was son-in-law of the Bach. They used to learn together beforehand, and they came up with a question of: is there an 11 letter word in Tanakh? They're discussing about dividing among two lines, so neither of them knew. So the Bach called his daughter over and said to her, is there any 11 word? So she said, not in the Torah, but there is in Tanakh, in Megillah, v'achashter apanim b'nei aramachim, that is. So the Bach says, zishen fi the levana, shines like the moon. So the Taz says, maybe it's time to be Mekabish levana. And that's supposedly how they got married. So, yeah. Right, so traditionally, women know Tanakh, and it sometimes pays for the shidduch, right? That should be part of the why you connect. Get girls to learn more Tanakh. So there is a concept out there that women know Tanakh, and therefore, yeah, they should be encouraged to do it. I think it's a very good thing. We'll just take a look at number 11. Rav Avadya Yosef is a big fan of Targum. Just fair. I am a person who pushes Rashi personally. Rav Avadya thinks that the Targum has a very high meaning. It comes from Sinai, etc. And therefore, he admits that most people don't speak Aramaic, and therefore that limits the how useful it is to teach Targum and to learn Targum. So he says, in fact, that therefore we have to teach people more Aramaic. So that's the upshot. It's interesting, there are svarim out there that will take the Targum and translate the Targum back to Hebrew. And it highlights to you, by the way, these are the important Targums. Here in Yeshiva, we have something called the Masmidim Honors Program. In the Masmidim Honors Program, among the bechinas that the boys have to take is every week they take a bechina on Rashi, the Shnai Mikra, and Targum, Rashi, and Targum is Unkelus as well. So they've all become very aware of the Sefer. There is a Svarim that will actually show you the important Targums, things that could be asked on a test, basically, and that becomes very helpful. So if someone's interested, it happens to be very worthwhile. Rashi is also worthwhile. Just to give you an idea of different Minhagim people over the years, if you look at the Sefer Rivavos Ephraim, Ephraim Greenblatter, Rav in Memphis, Tennessee, who was one of the top Talmidim for Moshe Feinstein, writes over what Moshe used to do. So he says that B'Shavus Acher Tzarayim Over Shnayim Mikra Milo V'Milo V'Acher Kach Unkelus. First he lained twice, then he would do the Targum V'Acher Kach Im Rashi V'Haramban Moshe Over Pama Rishon. Then he'd go again with Rashi and the Ramban every week. He was able to do this approximately without stop for 70 years. He said it's very impressive that he had time for this. Now, Moshe Feinstein was a busy man. Obviously, he had for many years he had all Klal Yisrael's problems on his shoulder, and he still found time to do Targum with Rashi, with Ramban every week. Therefore, that should be some sort of encouragement that we should do it as well. It's interesting, we'll skip a little bit, it's supposed to be later on. There is a discussion actually how you're supposed to do it. What is said here is that Moshe first read two mikras, it leaned through it twice, and then read through the Rashi. Other people say that's not very helpful. It's helpful to read Rashi or the Targum next to the Pasuk. Do Pasuk, Pasuk. One Pasuk this. Other people say, well, maybe do it Aliyah by Aliyah, or Psucha, Stuma, maybe you stop at each Parsha. So basically, is whatever opinion you do there, you're following somebody. And the Ovid Kamar Ovid, the Ovid Kamar Ovid, whatever you do is really good. Each one, however, he raises interesting questions. Just to tell you, there is a Mishnah, actually, in Brachos, which says, Homer Shema Shema, Meshaskim Somer Modim Modim. If somebody says Shema twice, we make them stop. Why? Because it sounds like Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad is one God. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, there's another God. Right? Right, people say that, you know, there are a lot of parts of davening which we should be careful with. Ushmo, 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 Echad. At the end of Eleinu, it sounds like the Trinity. There's the fact that people point out, right? I think the one that always gets me, which most shuls do, right? Baruch Shenasan Torah, Torah, Baruch Shenasan Torah. So you have two gods, each of them with two testaments. You end up with, by the end of the song. Right. So this is something that we should try to be careful for. It's a Mishnah. You shouldn't say Kol Shema Shav Shaskin. So there was an old Mordechai Ben David song, Shema Yisrael, Shema Yisrael. So Rabbi Shechter used to say that was a violation of this Mishnah. Also, A Bishter, A Bishter. That's already more than one. So anytime we should not indicate that there's more than one God. That's one of the tenets of Jewish faith. In fact, there's a more recent modim, modim, anachnu. So modim, modim is another one. So there's a Rebbe here, Rabbi Shmuel Maybrook, who sings that song. Homer modim, modim, mishaskin also. He just sings it as the Mishnah works as well. So the question comes up: if I have the minhag to do pasuk, targum. What do I do on the Pasuk of Shema? Well, I say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Shema Yisrael, say it over again. And then I'll read it. So is that a problem or not? So different approaches. Some people say, don't do it. That's one approach. The Rav of Ephraim has another tshuva where he turns around and he says, in fact, that's not a problem. The only problem is, it's only a problem to say it, if you're doing it b'derech kabolas ol malchus shemayim. Meaning that, if I'm saying, when I say Shema, you know, so I'm saying it, you know, in a way of kabolas ol malchus shemayim, if I say that twice, it's a problem. However, if I say it as limud ha-Torah, if I'm just saying it that I'm learning Torah, I'm reading the pasuk twice, but in no way am I indicating that this is my kabolas ol malchus shemayim, I'm going to say Shema, later on, or I said it previously in the day, for my chiyuv of Kabbalah Samos Shemayim, that's not a problem. That happens to be a very good heter to have, because that would take care of basically every other question we said. Right? All the other cases, whether it's Mordechai ben David singing the song, or some guy playing it at a chasana, or singing in shul, none of those are really Kabbalah Samos Shemayim. So that could be what everyone's relying on. Rabbi Shechter is machmir on this, he thinks it's a problem. But based on the river Safrayim, perhaps there's Makum Dlahaka. Somebody does it pasuk, again, and you can mix it up. We'll get back to that afterwards. If you remember, if we go back to the Gemara says that you have to do all pasukim afilu ataros v'divon. So Tosfos, I think we're number 13, says why ataros v'divon pirish Rashi afilu ataros v'divon she'ein bo targum. But this is a case of something where there is no targum, so therefore I think two mikras is enough. No, you have to read the targum as well, meaning which even though it's just the same words, so you read the mikra three times. It ends up being so tzarich lekros lo shalosh pam be'ivri v'kasha amay nakad ataros v'divon sheyesh mikol makom targum yerushalmi. So the problem is that if you look at the ataros v'divon, unklus just translates it word for word. Tosfos says, however, the targum yerushalmi doesn't. And it's an odd pasuk to pick. You know, there's a lot of other pasukim out there which were a lot earlier in the Torah, which also had no targum. For example, Hayomer Ruvain v'Shimon. Right? When they list off the names of the Shvatim, there's no targum on that, according to anyone. Al pasuk achrin is shein bo targum klal. V'yeshlomah mishim hachi nakar ataros v'divon afagosh shein bo targum yodua elo targum yerushalmi mitzvah kros gimel palmer ivri. So the Tosfos says, no, this is specifically why we pick this one. So this is to indicate when we do Targum, it's specifically the Targum Unklus and not one of the other Targumim. Even though there is another Targum on this, if you look at the Targum Yerushalmi, it's not a word-for-word translation. Afal Pichen, right, you still do the Unklus, even though it doesn't add anything. That's the point according to Tosfos. Very interesting, if anybody gets a chance to look it up afterwards, if you open up at the Targum Unklus in our version, and our Taurus V'Divon, it is not a word-for-word translation. In fact, this is one of the great questions of Targumim. Right? If there's any pasuk that we would think that we know anything about, this is it. And in fact, the Targum Unklus that we have has different words for our Taurus V'Divon. So what does that say first about our Targum? So we have courses here in Yeshiva on Targumim, if someone's really interested in it. I've never been that interested in it. What they tell me that they say is that our Targum is probably a correct Targum. However, in places where there was no Targum Unklus, the printers, some nefarious fellow, went and took the other Targum and put it in there. That's, I think, the standard understanding. Other people have a different approach. If you look at the Aruch HaShulchan, he says that it really this has nothing to do with it. He quotes Rabbeinu Bachya. Rabbeinu Bachya says, yes, Ataros V'Divon, these are the names of the cities they took over, and they took over these cities from Ovdei Avodah Zarah, that were living on Eiver HaYarden, and the Targum translates it into the names of the Avodah Zarah. And I might think that it's also to mention Avodah Zarah, and that's why I don't do the Targum on it. And then, rather, the Gemara comes to tell us, Afiu Ataros V'Divon, even though the Targum is going to be a Shema Avodah Zarah, since it's part of my learning, I'm allowed to mention it. It's got nothing to do, again, so the Rabbeinu Bachya has a very different approach than Rashi or Tosfos. So according to Rabbeinu Bachya, the Targum does exist. And we're not saying that if there is no Targum, what do you do? Because there is a Targum here, but rather saying that don't worry about it, even though it's a Shema Avodah Zarah. The Aruch HaShulchan goes on to say, by the way, that he thinks that any Targum is good. If you want to do Targum Yerushalmi, Targum Yonason, which tends to be more entertaining, he would think that's okay as well. I don't know anybody who does anything, who does Targum, who does anything other than Unklus. When is it supposed to be done? So as I walked in this morning, someone told me that they blew it already. So you have to do it even though we assume the reason that we do Shnayim Mikra is in order that we should fill all the parshas, still, it has to be related to the week. So, meaning that you can't do it too early, and you should try not to do it too late. What would be too early? So, okay, number 15, the Shulchan Aruch, Miyom Rishon Ve'elech Choshevim HaTzibur. You start on Sunday. I can't say, listen, you know, Bereishis and Noach Lechach are pretty long parshas, and I'm off for Chol HaMoed, so maybe I'll get a jump on it, right? Or sometimes you find yourself. So on my telephone, I have Chumash and Rashi. So oftentimes when I'm stuck anywhere, I do Shnayim Mikra. That's subways. It's great for. What if you find yourself in a week where you've got a lot of subway time? Can you run ahead and do actually the week after and the week after? So the answer is no. You have to start on Sunday. Now the Mishnah Berurah, other people point out that Sunday doesn't really mean Sunday here. Sunday means after Shabbos Mincha. Once you read the next parsha, then you can start. Once the Tzibur reads whatever the next week's parsha is, you can start after Mincha already. When should you be done by? So the next Sifan Shulchan Aruch says, Mitzvah mina muvchor sheyashem osa kolm sheyocha b'Shabbos. The best thing to be do is to be done before lunch on Shabbos. That's a medrash. If you can't do it by the meal, do it by before mincha, before you read the next week's parsha. That doesn't work, do it by Wednesday. If that doesn't work, right? Ultimately, you got to be done by, everything has to be done by the end. It is best to finish it within the week. The week kind of goes until Wednesday with that Havdalah thing. Right? You know, it's best to do it even before that. It's interesting that a lot of people point out to Achronim that he doesn't even mention L'chachil, you have to do it before laning. He says before lunch. You can do it after davening also. Again, the Shulchan Aruch seems to be very strong in his idea that it's not preparation for laning, actually. But rather, you still have to try to keep it on target. There's a lot of discussion, a lot of interesting discussion about this. So, for example, I think the Ktzos HaShulchan writes, Ktzos HaShulchan was written by Avram Chaim Noah. Avram Chaim Noah, people know he's the person who has the small Amma. It's all they know about him. He's really written many Svarim. All people know is he's the 18-inch Amma man. So he has a large piece on Shnai Mikra in the Sefer Ktzos HaShulchan. And he says a very interesting chiddush, that in the event, so this happens rarely, if Shmini Atzeres falls out on a Shabbos, so this can't happen, so Simchas Torah cannot fall out on a Shabbos, but Shmini Atzeres can fall out on a Shabbos. If you're in Israel and Shmini Atzeres falls out on a Shabbos, right, so that's the rare case where you read seven aliyahs in Zos HaBracha, right? And it's interesting, if you look at our chumashim that are printed in America, there should be no Shvi in Zos HaBracha, it can't happen. In Eretz Yisrael, a taka could happen, rarely. So he says, that happens to be the longest davening ever. Because if that happens, not only do you have Geshem and everything else, you also have to do Koheles. Right? Right? You're doing Koheles, Hakofis, Yizkor, Geshem, Ahanisim, Megillas Esther. You basically, you start at the beginning of the Siddur, you just go as far as you can. That's one of those days. However, so there's one kula that comes out of it. So he says that if that happens, even though usually you have to be done with all the parshias by Simchas Torah, in that case you get till Tuesday. Because it comes a regular parsha Shavuot, you get a few extra days on that. The one upside of if that happens. But by and large, people should try to do it on schedule. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Grah. The Grah, they say, had the minhag that the way it happens to fall out is that there are 7 days in the week. There also have to be seven aliyahs. Every day of the week, he would do one aliyah. And that's how you do it. Keseder, after Shabbos, he would sit down, do the Shnai Mikra Vecha Targum. And that's how that was his minhag, to stay on schedule. Other people had the minhag to do it all on Erev Shabbos. That wouldn't work out with my schedule. Right? All on Shabbos is a better chance. The bottom line is, however it works, it works. But a person should try to the extent possible to keep up with the parshas. Also, if you don't, you could fall pretty far behind. So what if you don't? So let's say, so this week it was a little bit tight, right? Bereishis is a real long parsha. It's got a lot of Rashi in it. And you couldn't start until after Chos and Bereishis. Right? Now, it could be worse. That could have been Friday. Right? That happens sometimes as well. But let's say it was tight, so now I'm halfway through Bereishis, I'm no way before Bereishis. What do I do now? Do I do Noach now, to be on time with Noach? And then make up Bereishis when I have a chance, I have a note. Or no, I keep on going Keseder, catching up a little bit along the way. So the Maharsham has a tshuva about that. The basic upshot number 17 is it depends. If I'm going to catch up now, so keep it Keseder. If I know I'm not going to catch up now, better to do this week first and put the other one. Remember, there's one year I had eight parshas in my pocket. I was really deep in the hole. And Akash Baruch Hu came through and I got jury duty. And I remember after the middle of the third day, I finally finished the eighth parsha. And I walked up to the guy in front and said, "I'm done, I can go home now." He looked like I was crazy. "What do you mean you can go home?" "Yeah, I'm done. I did the eight parshas. Let's go." "Thank you. I'm done." So, better not to let that happen. In yeshiva, it happens to be a problem that the three hardest parshas, which come out in order for Shnai Mikra, are Truma, Tetzaveh, and Mishpatim. Right? Not necessarily in that order. But Mishpatim has a huge amount of Rashi, and as does Truma and Tetzaveh, and difficult ones to understand, particularly if you haven't gone through it a few times. So that happens to always fall out during midterms. So that's usually when guys tend to fall behind. But the encouragement always is that, okay, if you can't catch up, put a licit. There's a nice summer coming up eventually. You make it up then. So again, if it's a little bit behind, keep on going Keseder. If you can do a Bereishis Noach by next week, do it that way. If you're not going to be able to do it, do Noach, put Bereishis on the back burner. Now, basic question, hearing the laning, does that count for one? So if you look at the Shulchan Aruch, it said Yochel Likros Hapashayim Mikra Vechatagim B'Shas Kriyas HaTorah. So what does that mean? So the Mogen Avram has a kula. What does that mean? Im Shoma Pam Echos Mehashatz, mean that if I hear the laning, V'Kara Pam Echos, and then I read it one time, Yotza. I'm Yotza. Ali says, Avol Ein Lismoch Lechachira Al Hashmiya. However, Lechachira, you should not rely on this. The Mishnah Berurah seems to indicate even B'Dievet you can't rely on this. That listening alone does not count. You don't say Shomea Ka'one for this. However, what he does say is that you do have the option of reading along quietly. So what a person can do is throughout the week do Pasuk together with Rashi, Targum, whatever you're doing, go through the whole thing once, and then at the time of laning, read along. And that will count as your second one. Number 21 was the discussion we had earlier regarding the order. Number 22, we begin to discuss on who are the people who are potter from Shnayim Mikra. So the Shulchan Aruch says, Malam de tinokos ein tzarech achsel likros haparsha b'Shabbos. And if I am a teacher, and I teach the parsha of the kids, right, Bereishis bara in the beginning, if I do the whole parsha every week like that, so since I've done it at least twice with Mikra, I am potter, I've already done that. People use this as a proof that Targum doesn't have to be specifically Targum. Right? Because, I don't know, even if you're in Zilberstein in the Old City, no one's teaching in Targum these days. It's been a long time since anyone's been teaching in Targum. Right? The idea is that if you've gone through the Parsha and you've taught the Parsha well, in such a way, that counts as it. The Mishnah Halachos, as we mentioned earlier, says women are not chayiv in it. However, it's still probably a very good idea. A question comes up, what about someone who's an Avel? Can someone who's an Avel, or more specifically for everybody, what about on Tisha B'Av, can you do Shnayim Mikra? Does Shnayim Mikra count as Limud HaTorah? Or is it considered Seder Hayom? We know the Halacha is on Tisha B'Av that you're not allowed to learn Torah. However, something Seder Hayom, something is the davening. Every day I say Karbonos in davening. That's the classic. So what's Karbonos? It's Pesukim. Then I say the Parsha Satamid, and I say the Parsha Sakataris, and I go Abaya Hef Masad, and I go Ezu Mekomen, and the Rabbi Shmuel Omer. These are all just parts of learning. Am I allowed to do that on Tisha B'Av? So the assumption is that if it's Seder Hayom, if it's like davening, right, then I'm allowed to do it. If it's Limud HaTorah, then I get some Simcha out of it, then I can't. What about Shnayim Mikra? Can I do that? So the Shulchan Aruch is a little unclear. If you look in Hilchos Tisha B'Av, Mut Likros Kol Seder Hayom, number 24, Uparshas HaKarbonos Mishnas Ezum B'Komu Midrash Rabbi Shmuel HaGah, then the Ramah comments, Mut Rachzal HaParsha B'Tisha B'Av. You have to go over the Parsha on Tisha B'Av. So what does that mean? So the Mishnah Berurah says, you know what it means? It means that if I'm going to lain, I'm allowed to chazer the laning. Lachzer a parsha doesn't mean shnayim mikra, right? Hainu chazer na kare, the bal kare, mutar o lachzer a parsha kotem shiikra. Hainu afil b'mincha, the elu dilu b'shachris parshas kisol pshita d'meinam aray. So the morning laning, of course, kisol b'banim, it's very depressing. It's like learning kamsa bar kamsa. It's like learning the parakim in Yirmiyahu. It's like learning eicha. Of course I can go over that. But even the afternoon laning, right, which is not a depressing laning, you're still allowed to go over that as well. The Mishnah Berurah himself in the Shaar HaTzion shows his cards a little bit and says, I know what I didn't say. Because that's Mogen. He said, I'm not telling you what the Taz says. The Hainu Mishiroga Lachzer Pasha Shashavua Ba'oso Yom the Hainu Shechal Tishiva B'Yom Hei. So he says that the Taz says no. When the Shulchan Aruch says this, he doesn't mean to say that the Baal Kori is allowed to go over it. The Ramah is saying that you're allowed to do Shnayim Mikra. Shnayim Mikra is a Chiyuv. It's not just a Stam Limud HaTorah. It's like we're doing Ezu Mekomen. And therefore, you're allowed to do Shnayim Mikra on Tisha B'Av. And what would follow from that is someone who is an Avel could do Shnayim Mikra as well. He says, how that is the point of Taz. The Mishnah Berurah says, however, I reject this. Right? Val Yor calls of Gamkein Hachi. Val Yor also says this. Rishum the Kamach from the Fakim Alzeh. He said, but other people disagree. I ain't, etc. He says, so therefore, he said, I'm just quoting the Magen Avraham, even though I'm aware that many Achronim disagree with him. So I think many Achronim disagree with the Mishnah Berurah as well. I think that probably there's probably two variables a person has to consider with this. One is, how good are you about doing it every day? If you're the Groh who does it every single day, then you can talk at Seder Hayom. If a person does Shnai Mikra as he has the opportunity to do it, so it's hard to say it's Seder Hayom if you don't do it every day. That's point number one. And point number two is, how do you do it? You know, I think if a person just davens up the Parsha and the Targum, then that could be counted as Seder Hayom. If a person's actually learning, which is preferable, I would imagine, right? Therefore, that would probably not count as Seder Hayom, and that would be problematic on Tisha B'Av as well. The bottom line is, there are many options in how to do it. There's a lot of options what's Targum, there's a lot of options into how you can do Shnayim Nikra, what order, etc. However, at the end of the day, this happens to be very important. People tend to neglect the Chumash and Rashi after elementary school, and there's an awful lot out there that a person can continue to learn afterwards. So therefore, hopefully, this will be somewhat of an encouragement for anybody who's in the room or in internet land to get up and be makabel upon themselves this year to give a stronger push to do Shnayim Mikra. We'll now leave over some time for questions. Yes? So I think they say for the Mikra, it is preferable to lane it, actually. If you know the trap, the most preferable thing is to lane it for the Mikra itself. For the Targum, I think you don't have to. So I think people tend to do it for the Mikra, not for the Targum.
How about these the English translations of the Eucharist?
I'm not familiar with them.
They're advertising now in the Jewish.
So I imagine, assuming that it's done well, and why shouldn't it be? If it's faithfully translated the Onkelos, I think it would be fine.
They also, of course, they point out where there's a lot of difference between the Targum and the Rashi and the other Shem. So that's
sounds like a wonderful thing.
Okay, you seem like it's amazing to discuss before. Two things. You keep mentioning Rashi. Did you suggest that the best way is to do it Shnayim Mikra at the Targum Gam Rashi? Is that, or Rashi?
So that's what the Shulchan Aruch said. The Shulchan Aruch recommends that you do them both.
Okay.
Right.
That's good. The other question here is, I got into a pattern for many years trying to space out over 6-7 days of the week. I haven't stopped at Shem Shishu B. Someone told me, a Rav told me, that you should only stop where there's like a pay or a summit inside.
Right, so we mentioned that there is.
I don't know if you mentioned that or not.
We mentioned that there is such an opinion. There are other. It's interesting. There is an opinion out there. This is one of the stories which I can neither confirm nor deny. There is an Indian that people say that you should not be mafsik during the whatever you're doing, whether it's the parsha, whether it's the aliyah itself. There is a story out there about a fellow who claims that his father was doing Shnayim Mikra on September 11th. And that was happened to be the Tochacha they were in at the time. And he did not want to be mafsik in the Tochacha, so therefore he sat on the park bench rather than go to the office in the Twin Towers. And his life was saved because of Shnayim Mikra, because he was makbid on this. So, I don't know. I don't know if it's true, but it's a great story nonetheless. I shouldn't stop it. It could be true if not. Yes. That's a much longer tshuva than he usually gives. He usually would say no. That'd be typical. They must have really got him rankled in his ankles. There's logic behind that. There is a logic behind that. That, you know, it's hard to understand. I mean, just as I think to do the entire parsha and then to do the targum. Also, you have the same idea. You're not really putting it together as well. I would have thought that you could be more makel b'di'evin, but I'm not going to speak out against Rechayim Kanievsky.
How important is the order as in doing straight Shnei Gavra Parshah throughout the Parshah? For example, like this past week, I got about halfway through, then I landed on Shabbos. So now I've done Echad Mikra for the whole Parshah. Can I just pick up one once and then Parshah once?
I think so. I think absolutely. I think as long as it all ends up in the end working out.
And to the order of Mikra follow the Parshah.
I come to Reb Chaim Kanievsky. I mean, there's a sense by it. You know, I'll find myself sometimes. What I used to do when I had more time in life is on Motzei Shabbos I would learn the Parsha, just to get an idea what this week's Parsha is about. And then I would do Pasuk. Then I did it, right? Then I had less time in life, and so I do Pasuk, and then I learn with the Balkari next week. In the event, at this point, if I sometimes you ever get to this point where you know you stop and then you do it and you say, wait a second, did I just read two Rashis without reading a Pasuk? So I'll be makel to do the pasuk afterwards, even though it might be a little bit out of order, and not read the Rashi again. I think that'd be the evidence, probably okay. Now everyone seems to agree. Yes? Thank you. They're signaling to me that my time is up.
Okay.
So I have to step down. But thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Rapp. We'll start the next share in a few minutes.